Good morning and happy Easter. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this very special day. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's good to have you here, and we want to extend a special welcome to those who may be visiting. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you. We ask that you fill the card out and place it in the offering plate so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to extend an invitation for everyone to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in Judson Chapel, the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm just going to call your attention to it, not reading it to you. You may note the yellow insert in your bulletin today is a listing of the flowers here who have been given in honor and in memory of folks, and we want to remember those folks, especially today as well. And so at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal. Turn in the bulletin for our responsive call to worship. Let's read responsively as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Christ is alive. We celebrate today the ancient hope of Christians. After death comes a new style of life.
Christ lives. We are vibrant with Easter hope and spring possibilities.
Christ lives. The story of Jesus' resurrection is old, but our experience of God's presence is renewed.
Christ lives. Thank God for the possibility of a new life, after pain and suffering, after betrayals and losses. God lifts us from our tombs and creates us again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Our opening hymn is Christ the Lord is risen today. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together.
Sons of men and angels sing.
let us pray. Eternal God, thank you for this day, for hope and life and change. As we celebrate the promise of Easter, remind us that our lives can and will be totally transformed, just as the disciples were on that first Easter morning. Help us to savor in the mighty power of this resurrection day through the risen Christ. We now join in the prayer that he taught, praying aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. I invite any children who are sitting in the congregation who would like to come forward for our moments together to do that at this time. Good morning. Happy Easter. Thank you very much. It's nice to see you here today. We think about Easter, and I wanted to ask you, have you ever walked by or ridden in a car or the bus by a cemetery? Every day on your way to school and probably on the way home, you go by a cemetery. Do you know what a cemetery is? What's in a cemetery? Home of the dead people. That's the earthly remains. What's left of our human bodies, right, are in cemeteries. And on Easter morning, the story is about a cemetery. We think, well, what's so good news about a cemetery? Why do we celebrate, something that took place in a cemetery? Well, something that took place there that had never happened before, and I don't expect will ever happen again. Some women, friends of Jesus, had watched him die on Friday, and they had heard that he was put in a tomb, put in a cemetery, and they came to do the final preparations for his final burial on Sunday morning. And when they got there, of course, they've been talking about, because where they'd be put in the tomb, they rolled a big stone over it, and they were wondering, well, who's going to move the stone for us so we can get to Jesus' body and put some spices with the body and wrap it and get it ready for final burial? When they got there, the stone was missing. The stone was rolled away. And guess what? Jesus' body wasn't there either. Now, when we go to a cemetery, we expect that the headstone's going to be there, or no one's going to get up out of where they're buried. But Jesus' body wasn't there. And depending on which gospel you read, it depends on whether you hear that which women were there. But the women, all the stories say there were women that were there, and they want to know, well, what happened? And Luke's gospel that we're focusing on today says that there were two men there, and they said, well, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Well, I thought, well, Jesus is certainly dead, and he's not alive, so we're looking for the dead person, so where is he? And he said, he's not here. He's risen. He's come back to life, but not just come back to life. He was transformed. He appeared to be human, but he also had supernatural powers as well, that he was able to appear and disappear. We read later in the Gospels of some other accounts after Easter when Jesus appeared to his disciples, and then he disappeared. It was like walking through doors, walking through walls. He was able to do that. So he has some supernatural powers to him. So it wasn't just, well, he wasn't really dead, and they put him in the tomb, and, well, he woke up and got up and came out. No, he was dead. But he was brought back to a new, changed life. And that's what we celebrate on Easter, that even though our friends and family members die, and their bodies are often put in a cemetery, that there is the hope and the promise that they will be resurrected again sometime in the future at God's timing. At the end time, when God says, you know, it's over, that because of Christ, that we will all who follow Christ will have the opportunity to be resurrected. That's wonderful news, that our life does not end. And that's the message of Easter. That's the message of the cemetery. So as we drive by the cemeteries and walk by the cemeteries, it's nothing to be afraid of. But those are all people that have loved ones or had loved ones that have been, you know, they are buried there. But the hope is that they will all come back to life in a spiritual existence when God says it's time. So that's the message for Easter. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, at times we are afraid of death. We don't want to die. We don't want to be in pain like Jesus was. But Lord, remind us as we see cemeteries that the message of Easter is that life does not end in the cemetery, but that you are waiting to resurrect all who call you Lord, and that we will have an eternal home with you in heaven. Lord, we wait for that day. We pray that we may be faithful and obedient while living here on earth, that we may do what Jesus wants us to do. And Lord, we thank you again for Jesus, for his life, his death, and his resurrection. And we live with that hope of one day meeting you face to face. We ask this all in his name. Amen. You may go back to your families. An opportunity now to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And several folks I want to mention today and request prayers for. The first is Nancy Anderson, who is at Glen Ridge, and Nancy wasn't doing very well health-wise this week, and I haven't seen her since Thursday morning, but as of Thursday she was doing a little better, but still health-wise she's not out of the woods yet, so we want to keep Nancy Anderson in prayer. And I don't know if Eleanor's here today. Eleanor Covey had fallen a couple weeks ago and was injured. Still at home, you know, working, but still not feeling very well. So we want to keep Eleanor Covey in prayer. Delphine Haldane has been able to return with us, her daughter Diane. And Delphine fell several weeks ago and has been recuperating. It's good that you're able to be with us today, Delphine. Jim Hickey is having surgery this week, so I want to keep Jim in prayer. And May Upperman as well has been struggling with some health issues. We want to keep May in prayer today. We also want to keep David McCurry, Joe McCurry's brother, in prayer as he's been diagnosed with cancer in his lung and is deciding what treatments he's going to be having. Also, we want to obviously keep the people of Brussels and all of those affected by the terrorist attack there this week in our prayers. It's not just one city or one country. It affects internationally, globally. So we want to keep that issue in prayer. Also, I received a text this morning from Mark and Dottie Foxen wishing all of us Easter greetings. So I wanted to bring that to you as well. They'll be back in a few weeks, and I expect the Huddies will be back in a few weeks as well. So some of our snowbirds will be back with us soon. So it's good, but we want to remember them as they are still away. Do you have any requests for prayer today, either celebrations or concerns? If not, oh, Amelia, yes. We want to, yes, keep the Lanton family in prayer as Amelia and Jeffrey and Joyce and Bella are traveling to the Philippines this week. And we'll be attending a granddaughter's wedding, which is always a celebration. And we'll also be able to see some of Joyce's family. And so we do want to keep the Lanton family in prayer as you're traveling this week. And for several weeks, you'll be traveling out of the country. So we want to keep you in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? Yes? Right. Young Todd Freeman's mom, Kim, we want to keep her in prayer. That we have been praying for her, but I didn't have her on my list, so thank you. Kim is battling cancer and is quite extensive throughout her body. We want to keep Kim in prayer today as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? Betty? Oh, Haley's birthday, one of Jim and Betty's great-granddaughters. Her birthday is today. You're 9 years old. We celebrate that. And Phyllis Knight is able to be here today, too, so it's good to see Phyllis. You were sort of hiding in between, Phil. I hadn't seen you, Phyllis, so it's good to see Phyllis, too. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Eternal God, we thank you for hearing our private prayers. We pray now that you would also receive our corporate petitions. For God, you are a God of amazing surprises and powerful love. Your Easter victory is our sign of hope, something that we need so desperately in our world today. Your Easter triumph is our promise of new beginnings. Your Easter Alleluia is unexpected, undeserved, and graciously welcomed. We need Easter, for we too know loss and grief in our lives. We know the slow leak of sadness and the all too frequent dribbles of resentment. We need your Easter. The promise that dawn brings new possibilities. The assurance that your love is stronger than death. The hope that every day might be touched by Easter's joy. Lord, sometimes our words seem too timid and our songs not loud enough to express and trumpet our joy, to express our alleluias. Hear the glad beat of our hearts and the songs we long to shout, for you have promised us eternal life. Let everyone feel the possibilities for a living life surrounded by your powerful love and surprising grace. Lord, may we share the good news of Easter with others. And we ask this in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Easter is a time of celebration, a time of giving thanks to God for life after death, for life living out, for existence beyond the grave. That Good Friday was not the final message that Jesus had to offer us. In that good news, having that good news feeling, and in gratitude for all that God has done, is doing, and will do for us and with us. We have an opportunity to say thank you by tangibly offering our tithes and our gifts. At this time, the ushers will receive the morning offering. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that these gifts may be multiplied and used wisely to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the good news of Easter, to those who are hurting most, to those who need to hear it the most. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
seated. David Latta is our lay leader today, and we'll be reading the scripture.
Good morning. Today's scripture is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb carrying the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance to the tomb. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there puzzled about this, when suddenly two men in bright, shining clothes stood before them. Full of fear, the woman bowed down to the ground as the men said to them, "Why are you looking among the dead for one who is alive? He is not here. He has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life." Then the women remembered his words, returned from the tomb, and told all of these things to the 11 disciples and to all the rest. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James. They and the other women with them told these things to the apostles, but the apostles thought that what the women said was nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent down and saw the grave cloths, but nothing else. Then he went back home, amazed at what had happened. These are the words of the Lord.
Thank you, Dave. You sang that middle hymn so joyously and forcefully, and then hearing the scriptures that there was so much confusion that day, how much 2020 hindsight is. But let's pray together this morning. Lord, as we have sung together, as we have heard and read scripture together, we know that this is a very special day. Something significant, something stupendous happened on that resurrection morning. And Lord, we don't profess to still have all the answers or understand it completely. But Lord, we are here today filled with joy because the tomb is empty. Lord, we pray that our time together today may help us not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and next week and then following months as we strive to be more faithful followers of Jesus. Help us to share the good news that we are experiencing today with those who have not heard. Lord, open our hearts and minds right now to hear a word from you. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever looked up into the starry night sky and wondered if there's life out there somewhere on some other planet? If you have, you're not alone. For humans have wondered about this for generations. NASA, of course, is also interested in this topic with new technology like the Kepler Space Telescope. Astronomers have been looking deeper and deeper into space for more signs of potentially habitable, perhaps life-sustaining planets that look more like ours. You know, we're already planning trips to Mars, and we know that, you know, it's not going to be just like Earth, but, you know, there might be something else out there. Last year, scientists found one such cousin to Earth, approximately 500 light years away. That's no little trip to Mars and back. Since light travels 5.88 trillion miles in 1 year, this planet that's 500 light years away is obviously not very close. NASA has named the planet Kepler-186f, and its discovery is a significant step toward finding worlds like our planet Earth, says Paul Hertz, director of the Space Agency's Astrophysics Division. This planet is in what scientists call the habitable zone in relation to its closest star, or about the right distance to sustain life as we know it, without frying it and without freezing it. Like with most of these discoveries, however, the scientists don't know yet if Kepler-186f harbors any life, or if it could sustain life as we know it, since they haven't learned much about its atmosphere. And although the planet is about the same size of Earth, its mass and composition are not known either. Previous research leads experts to believe that the surface is rocky, just like every other planetary body we know about except Earth, whose surface area is 71% water, the basic building block of life as we know it. The chances for life to grow on places like Kepler-186f are very slim, but we still keep looking for life among the dead stones and craters of those distant worlds. The women who went to the tomb early on Easter morning were moving among the rocks, but had no such illusion that they would find any life there. Unlike scientists who are always hoping for new discoveries, these women were not expecting to find anything new. They had seen death before. They had returned to the tombs many times and always found the same thing. It was not a habitable zone, since those who were laid among those rocks were always dead, cold, and lifeless. That's why the women went with the spices that morning. People didn't take those along unless they were expecting to find death amid the stones. Jewish burial rites at the time meant anointing the dead body with spices to hasten decomposition and cut down on the smell. Then, about a year later, they returned among the rocks and gathered the remaining bones. They put them in a stone in a box, and then put that box in a niche in the back of the tomb. The same tomb, then, would be used in the same way many times, and the rocks, though, would remain silent. That morning, the women went to anoint the body of the one whom they had hoped would bring new life to a world desperately looking for it. When Jesus of Nazareth had been with them, they felt like anything was possible. These women had seen people healed from diseases. They had seen demons cast out with a word. And they'd even seen the dead brought back to life. They had heard Jesus talk about the kingdom of God, which sounded to them like a whole new world, sustaining a different kind of life than the one that they were used to. A world where the first became last and the last first. A world where violence and pain are no more. A world where the brokenness and sins of the past are forgiven. And where everything is made new. But this was not some distant world. In fact, Jesus said that this seemingly alien world was already here and breaking in among them in his own life and ministry. That life, however, had been cut short. Jesus had been nailed to a Roman cross as a criminal, a revolutionary who had threatened the world as those in power knew it. He had talked as if he was from somewhere else, not from this world. His authority and wisdom seemed to be otherworldly. At the same time, however, he was fully human, fully like those women at the tomb that morning, fully like us sitting here today. These women, like the many others, had their view of the world changed by this one who at once seemed so alien and yet so familiar. But now Jesus was dead, and the familiar burial work of the old world needed to be done. They were certain that they would not find signs of life among the stones, rocks, and tombs. When they arrived, with spices in hand, however, they found that the large stone covering the tomb had been rolled away. The lifeless body they expected to find inside that tomb was missing. Put yourself in that place of one of those women that morning. The feelings that you had, what happened to him? We know he died. Things don't come back to life. We're in this graveyard. What they did find, however, was not the body of Jesus. But they found two men in dazzling white clothes standing beside them, a sight so alien that the women bowed their terrified faces to the ground. And the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen." The women had expected to find the same old thing, the dead among the dead. The stones undisturbed and yielding nothing but cold, dry, geophysical reality. What they discovered instead was life, the promise of the real, abundant, eternal life the world has always been looking for. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for signs of life in a graveyard? The empty tomb sends us in a new direction. The empty tomb is itself a sign of life. Not something we'd often think of a tomb being a sign of life. That it once harbored death, but now is empty, is the telltale clue. New life has been here. New life has been at the tomb. Something new has broken into our world. When Jesus rose from the dead, it signaled the beginning of a new creation, a new world. It signaled the ultimate defeat of death itself, and with it, the sin that caused it in the first place. The kingdom of God is not a distant world, but the reality of what happens when heaven and earth come together, renewing both. The reality we pray for each Sunday morning in the Lord's Prayer. Each time we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray that reality of kingdoms coming together. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read the Apostle Paul writing that Jesus' resurrection was the first fruits, or we might say the prototype, of what will happen to us in God's future. Renewed people in a renewed heaven and earth where God dwells with us and makes us whole. We don't have to look for life way out there someplace because it's coming here and indeed is here and available for us right now. The one who was dead is now alive. And because he lives, we too can live without peering hopefully into the darkest reaches of the universe. We have the light of life that illumines everything and makes all things new. Because of this, those who follow the living Christ are always seeing life where others see death. We especially need to hear this message in the wake of more terroristic actions this week. We look around the world and say, what is the world coming to? The world is not a cold, lifeless, rocky place, but a world with hope and future because of Jesus Christ. We live and work in the present with that future in mind. Thus, Paul says to the Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, be immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord, your labor is not in vain." How many of us sometimes feel hopeless? Yet Easter comes, and the good news of the resurrection offers us hope to go one more hour, one more day, one more week. God turned over a rock and revealed life. That's the best news this planet can ever receive. NASA is still searching for life in worlds that are so far away that it would take us 500 years to get there if we traveled at the speed of light. God has brought a new world to our doorstep in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's something to celebrate. And let's pray together. God of all ages and all people, the shadows and gloom of Good Friday have been dispersed by the light and color of Easter Sunday. We rejoice in your power that turns our sorrow into joy, our despair into hope, our defeat into victory, and evil into goodness. Help us on this Easter day, O God, to burst out of the tombs that have trapped us, tombs of selfishness and sinfulness, greed and gluttony, scandal and corruption, pride and prejudice. Let a new life of divine grace and human love burst forth from each of us this Easter day. We ask this through the grace of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is He Lives, number 262. because the tomb is empty, our lives can be full. So let us go into every place and every day as people brimming with the love of God. Be graceful in spirit, hopeful in word, faithful in deed. Live for the risen Christ as Christ lives in you. Alleluia and amen.